Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. And this is the show, Self Expressions, and I am your host, Brother Robert Pow Pow Hudson. Thank you and for joining me tonight. And want to thank everybody for just, you know, once again, I'm simulcasting on Facebook Live, and I'm also on broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And tonight, I just want to just real quickly just go into, you know, my topic, which is harvest time. And, you know, we really need to just understand, you know, the benefits of reaping and sowing. And the benefits of reaping and sowing is, you know, what you reap is what you sow. You know, and at a time like this where we, you know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, we're in the middle of, basically a change in government. And I just want to let you know that right now, this is harvest time. And why would, you know, I say it's harvest time? Because right now this is where, you know, everything that we've grown, everything that we planted a seed in, and yes, we do plant seeds, okay? Whether, you know, you deal with politics or not, you do deal with politics. And I'll let you know later on as we go on. But for right now, you know, our government has been playing games with us. They've been doing cloak and dagger things. And one of the things that I just want to challenge the Biden administration as they come into office is this one thing that, you know, we have not solved yet. And the thing is, in the midst of stimulus checks, in the midst of where, you know, we are the government and we're saying that, listen, we need to take care of the people. But, you know, there are people that have been forgotten. And the one thing I want to just, you know, just make certain that the one thing I want the Biden administration to do is take care of the people of Puerto Rico. Because Hurricane Maria happened a great long time ago. And the people of Puerto Rico are still suffering. You know, and the things that are going on, and there is the have and have not. There are still some people without electricity. There are still some people without basic stuff. But yet, they want to demonstrate to the American people, because maybe this country did not want statehood. Maybe this country did not want independence. Maybe this country, I'll put it this way, we proclaim our providence didn't declare what they want clearly at the time that the government wanted them to do it. So what the government is showing them is that since you are indecisive, we're going to be indecisive in the means and the methods of how we help you guys recover. And it is too long. It's too long. And, you know, let me tell you, when they say that that country has that providence or country or whatever you want to put it, or however you want to put it, or however you ever want to make it seem, the only thing they recovered is the resorts, the things that bring in money, and that money is mainly coming right back to the United States, the continental United States, and that is a travesty because these people have suffered. And they're trying to make it seem like they have gave them all of the least effort that they could. No, they couldn't. They could release one big stimulus check to the people of Puerto Rico. But they have not done it. They give us a little droplet of money to distract us from things that are going on. And I think that is not right. It is just not right how you trickle down a little bit of the government tax money that you get from us and you decide how much you give to somebody in need. And that was always been the main focal point and the main cause of this country, of how they divvy out and how they help out people that's in need. You know, the war on poverty is no such war. It depends on us, the people, to help people out of poverty. But they're the ones that put us in poverty. There would be no such thing as poverty if it wasn't government politics the way it's run right now. And I'm going to tell you, and I'm just going to make a brief outline of how politics work. This is how politics work. And this is how you can easily say, well, I really don't involve myself in politics. Yes, you do. At some point, you involve yourself in politics. It's just the way you do things. It's just the way and how you involve yourself and how you just exercise your right as a citizen of this country to involve yourself in politics. This is how I'm going to present this to you. And I'll tell my son, hey, son, I'm going to pick a woman that I want you to marry. He says no. And I said to my son, hey, listen, this woman I want you to marry is Bill Gates' daughter, okay? He says, okay. So now the next phone call I make, call Bill Gates. I said, Bill Gates, I want your daughter to marry my son. He says, no way. I says, you know, my son is the CEO of Bank of America. He says, oh, okay. So I call Bank of America. And I tell Bank of America, I want you to make my son CEO of your bank. And he says, no, no way. I says, you know, my son is the son-in-law of Bill Gates. And he says, oh, okay. That's politics right there. That's how it all works. Everybody's working something to get what they want. At some point, you're going to work something or try to think or think through and see if you can do something that works to your advantage. But the thing is that I want to present to you right now is you reap what you sow. So if you're sitting there and you're sowing of the benefits of how you can get over on another man or woman, you're sadly mistaken because, you know, right now the reaping and sowing thing, that's not where, you know, where we're supposed to be at. That's not a God-like attitude. That's not a position that God wants us to be in. No. And how I'm going to just, you know, prove it to you is, you know, everything I'm saying is coming from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 38. And, you know, before I get into that, I'm just really wanted to let you know that, you know, we all say we don't do this and we don't do that, but the things that we all proclaim and say that we don't do, we participate in. And, you know, how is that? It's because we all sit back and say we despise this and we hate the way this thing happens and we hate the way that things happen. But in the end, you know, we find a way to involve ourselves in the things that we say we don't like. Like, you know, I can say I don't like Judge Judy. But when I come home and I see her and I say, you know what, I can't believe she said that. You know what, I can believe she said that. And that's the reason how 45 got in office. Because we all knew that he was a reality show, he was a train wreck. And we all sat here for this four-year train wreck where it happened. We said, oh, I can't believe he did that. Every day, there wasn't a day if you wasn't surprised and you woke up and you said, well, he tweeted this or he said this or he did that, that you was not surprised. You know, that's a train wreck that we let participate in this country right here. And then now as he starts to leave office, you say, well, oh, I can't believe that he inspired a riot in the Capitol building. But he did. And when he did that, that was a slap of disrespect because of the amount of people that participated in it. And you know why there's an amount of people that participated in that particular activity? It's because they always felt that way. And they always felt that they were compelled to, you know, political, you know, what can I say, political, you know, opportunity or political correctness, whereas though they felt as though they didn't have, you know, they wasn't really participating in it. They were just actually exercising the right of political correctness because the correct part was the 45 was just so wrong that all of a sudden it seemed that what he was doing was right. You know, at the end of the day, when they realized that people that were participating, even though there was loss of life, you know, we can see now, you know, real clear that this wasn't something right. This was something as wrong as a civil war. And you know how the civil war happened? It happened because there was a couple people that was against what this country was about, and they said, you know what, I'm tired of them. I'm tired of what they think. I think a certain way. And the reason why we have all these Civil War monuments and the General Lee depictions and, you know, the Confederate flag still trying to fly all over the place is because at the end of the day, we don't see eye to eye. We don't see eye to eye. We can't see how you back a loser, still one country. We're still not one country because they want to back the loser. They want to believe in what they said, you know, and then, you know, we hear phrases, the South will rise again. What does that mean? You're going to rebel again? You know, we need to make sure that, you know, we exercise our right correctly because we don't have to, you know, after every 50 years, we're not married to the Democrat Party. And the reason why I'm going to say this right now is because Joe Biden is not Barack Obama. He's not done the things that Barack Obama done. And on top of that, he's already questionable, already in office, unless he does some things. And like I said, and the one thing that I'm stressing right now is they do not ignore Puerto Rico, whether they view them as a state, a province, or a property, or whatever. Don't do that. Fix a wrong that was set by, you know, our government, you know, whether it's your regime or not. You know, Puerto Rico deserves, you know, all the benefits. We released one big stimulus for this country. But, you know, my thing is that Puerto Rico is part of this country, whether it's, you know, you can say, hey, that's my stepbrother, my cousin. Either way, I'll look at the family. The country should do the same thing. You know, release one big stimulus that goes directly to the people. That's what we wanted. That's what we got. We got it because after all the fighting and everything in between, they got what they wanted too. So it's not like the people benefited 100% or totally. It's the people benefited because after they fought and bickered, they got what they wanted too. There's so many different measures and bills that they were covering in. And you know what? I'm tired of talking about this government because, you know, I've done enough for this government. I've done enough for this country that, you know, I'm ready to burn a flag. And I don't care who don't like it or who likes it. Either way. So let's get back into, you know, some good old-fashioned stuff that I like to cover, which is ministry. And the whole part of tonight's show was reaping and sowing. And this country will, you know, eventually understand that, you know, what they reap, they will sow. You know, I have, you know, no qualms about this country because, you know, I'm one of the many few people that have benefited, you know, no matter if it was a Trump, if there was a Obama, you know, I will some kind of way flourish, maybe depending on the regime, you know, I may flourish, you know, somewhat, and then at some point I will flourish greatly. But I'm also one of the people that understands that some people will greatly be, upheaval, you know, disarray because of some regime changes that greatly affects them. So, you know, let's get into some ministry. And, you know, I just, you know, I apologize if anybody, you know, doesn't like, you know, the part of me just getting into this little bit of politics and stuff like that. But, you know, I just have to get that out there because that was something that has been on my chest for a long time, you know. So, you know, and the next part of, you know, what I really wanted to, you know, talk about was, you know, as far as Griffin and so on, you know, the first part is, you know, what you think, you know. So a man think of, you know, and he can make it as it is. And, you know, and that covers a lot of things, you know. It covers, you know, things way back before we were even born, as far as the Wright brothers, where they had the thought of making flight. And, you know, and they put, you know, their efforts into it. You know, and it goes into, you know, frying chicken or anything that anything you think of that you can concentrate on or something that you just can't get your mind off of. Like Colonel Sanders, you know, before he made his big break, he was 70 years old. You know, and somebody finally, you know, invested in him and said, hey, you know what? I believe in this recipe. You know, I think this recipe is good enough where we think we can franchise this thing. You know, your ideas and your thoughts, there's no timetable of when it could become reality or when you can actually make it into fruition. You know, we just can't just put ourselves in a box. And when I say put yourself in a box, is meaning that how people label you as a person. And how they label you as a person is if you believe it. And the one thing I'm going to say is, like, alcoholic, AA, I'm just letting people know that, you know, if you go to the source, which is God, and I'm going to let you know right now, you know, you don't have to stand up in front of anybody and say, I'm an alcoholic. And, you know, this is whatever, you know, but when you go to God, you don't have to say anything. He already knows everything. You know, he can just tell you, hey, listen, if, you know, you give your life to me, you're born again, all your sins are forgiven, everything's wiped clean. But AA, you have to keep constantly keep going up, or NA or any one of those organizations, you have to keep constantly going up and just putting yourself in this box that you're an alcoholic. Or this, and even they got, you know, like the sex clinics or whatever. I forgot what they call it, but they say, hey, you know, you got to do the same thing. They stand up, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a sexual addict or whatever, and you know, and you know, oh, I was just wanting to just stop right now, but I just need help or whatever. You know, all these so-called self-help and all this and all that, they are just harping on you. It's just like doctors right now. Now, I'm going to tell you, and just real quickly, I just want to get off this topic and get back into my ministry, but right now, I just want to tell you, like, doctors are more like rich doctors. They're not trying to cure the problem. They're just trying to get you to come back and just keep saying, okay, yeah. And even if you have complications of what they said that they can cure you of, they got another pill for that. So, you know, I got to back off because I really want to get into ministry. And, you know, and like I said, harvesting and reaping is what I really want to concentrate on tonight. And, you know, and some things that I added in, you know, it's a little bit away from what I was talking about. So, you know, basically, I'm going to tell you how Jesus looked at us. And when, you know, Jesus looked at us, you know, he knew who we are. He made us, you know, he made us. And, you know, so even though he was omnipresent and was the only one place at the time or, you know, basically this part of the season in his life, you know, and going where he basically was not telling people where he was. He was going where people were. And he was fitting their needs. And so we're going to go to Matthew 35. That this, the Messiah, modeling the ministry for us. Never did Jesus sit back and wait for the people to come to him. He went out where the people were. And just please note, you know, nowhere does the Bible command lost sinners to come to church, but it does command us as saints to go out into the highways and the byways and to compel people to come to church. You know, do you like, you know, basically, do you like it where you're at right now? Even though you may not be in a physical church, maybe you might be listening to a church or you just, you know, subscribe to something. You know, would you like to share it with, you know, many others? okay? If you like it, you know, make sure you go ahead and do it, because, you know, we dare not neglect people, whether they live in a mansion or a slum, or upper class or lower class. You know, are the people on a rise, or the people on the downfall? You know, are they, you know, out of a job? You know, whatever's going on. You know, we must get, you know, basically, I guess we gotta say, the best way to describe it is the salt off the shaker. And the best way to get the salt off the shaker is you gotta shake things up. You gotta shake things up. And, you know, and we have to also, while we're doing that, also remember the compassion of the Savior. So in verse 36, when he saw what he saw, you know, not just a bunch of, you know, lackluster people, you know, it was basically just a crowd. It wasn't a superficial glance that he did, you know. He makes, what he saw through the souls, and he looked beyond their faults, and he saw their needs. So what you notice about somebody, you know, reveals what is truly important to you. You know, when I walk past a shoeshine man, you know, he looks like a shoeshine, you know, like a shoe, you know, because he sees every person as a potential customer. You know, the guy in this, you know, the cell phone store, you know, he glances at, you know, my cell phone to see if it's up to date. And, of course, you know, if he sees that it's up to date, you know, he says, oh, you know, he's not here for this. Maybe I can go ahead and sell. You know, when we see, you know, somebody come into a, you know, a car lot, you know, a car salesman looks at them and he looks at, you know, possibly what car he drove in, or probably sees, you know, if he's there to co-sign with somebody or something else. Everybody's always trying to dissimulate what somebody's doing compared to what they think for their needs, you know. So to God, you know, that's not what we want to do. But foremost, you know, the soul winning business is what's on his mind. And what would you say if you see every person as a potential covenant for Christ, or to bring them in to Christ, bring them into the kingdom, bring them into the church? And each of them, you see their precious, you know, gems, or their precious, you know, their precious aptitudes, or, you know, or their talents, flaws, or their faults, you know, their faults. Instead of standing and saying, oh, she dressed a certain way, or she wears too much red, or he does this, or he does that. At what point do we focus our mind to be Christ-like, where we focus on people's talents, the good points? You know, we are harvesting what we reap. And what we're harvesting, you know, and you're looking at people's downfalls. Where's the good part? Where's the soul saving? Where is the Jesus-like attitude that you have? You know, everybody wears these, what would I do if I was, or what would Jesus do? No, you wear the braces of what would I do. But what would you do is you would wreck the whole plan. You'll do whatever that's not right, because, you know, you're not omniscient, you're not omnipresent, and you're not figuring out what's best for somebody else. The best thing you can do for somebody else is if you see a talent in somebody, you help them develop it. Because like minds think alike, and guess what? It makes it better, because it is lonely at the top. Because guess what? There is no gauge for you if you're at the top and nobody's around you. There's no gauge of how far you can go. There's no challenge. There's no like-mindedness. You know, there is no sharing of anything. What you've done is, you know, if you're there at the top and you think, I'm the top, I've done this, guess what? Somebody along the way has helped you. Whether it was God himself, whether it was a friend you've forgotten, somebody helped you get to that point. Somebody inspired you. Somebody gave you a abandoned thought. Something happened when you get to the top. You know, and you reap what you sow. Do you ever wonder how someone seems to have everything put together, but at the end of the day, it all falls apart? It all falls apart because we all need to do things in you know, go back to something that happened in my life that I never thought, you know, was going to happen. So, you know, I'm part of the next generation, and, you know, I encounter some people, you know, that are older folks, and I know that the profession. Now, one of the things that would go on when I went to, I forgot the terminal, but it was, I think it was Margaret Frankfurt Terminal. I'm not sure what it's called now. You know, everybody changes things, you know, names and stuff like that. But Margaret Frankfurt Terminal, there was a shoeshine guy. me, I was a mostly Adidas, Nike guy, you know. But one thing I did remember was the shoeshine guy, and this is when I was 17, 18, and I was pretty much making a niche for myself. I was feeling responsible for the things I was doing. I was actually, you know, making sure that I was exercising my dollar for what it was. So for 50 cents, he's shiny shoes. So I always had a pair of shoes because I never knew when I was going to go on the next interview or when I get fired or I get laid off or whatever. So being that, I always had the presence of mind, you know, keep a pair of shoes, you know, with me. So I carried, you know, a pair of shoes with me, and I went to the shoe shine booth, and I would set the shoes right beside, you know, my Adidas, I set it right beside my jaw. So, you know, he looked at me like, you don't want to put the shoes on? I was like, no, go ahead and just shine the shoes, you know, and I was just doing that for, you know, I knew, and I kind of foresaw that, you know, what he was doing as his profession was more so a dying breed. And he would probably have to find another job or he had to try to do something else. But eventually that I saw that, you know, shiny shoes, you know, was going to come to an end at some point. Because even the white guys and executives, you know, when they were walking, you know, they would sit there. Sometimes they would have, you know, tennis shoes too. It wasn't Adidas, it wasn't Nike or whatever, but it was more so like Asics and, you know, Skechers or some stuff like that. You know, but it wasn't more so of where it would identify where, you know, wearing it. And I just looked and I saw, I said, well, you know, he's probably going to find another job. So I was supporting him. Basically, I was using, you know, my little 50 cents, 75 cents and supporting him. And he always said the same thing. He was like, why do you do that? And, you know, I didn't say nothing. I didn't want to say to him that I'm supporting you, that I'm trying to just, you know, make sure that you have some kind of means of making some income or whatever. I didn't know how to express that. So what I do, I continue came there. And then one day, you know, I came there, and I forgot to bring my shoes. And I forgot what it was, you know. But what I did was, you know, I gave him 75 cents as if he was doing my shoes. He was like, what are you giving me that for? And I said, you know, I forgot my shoes. And he said, you don't wear them anymore. What's the point? You know, so, and let me just go, you know, forward in future. 7 years ago, I never even asked him his name. But when I was, like, really low and I had to find a job, I got hooked up with a temp service. And what they did was they assigned me to this company, and they gave me a house cleaning job. And so when I went there, you know, I got introduced to a guy that was, you know, showing me the ropes. His name was Roberto, and he said, you look familiar. I said, I don't remember. You know, I don't remember you. I said, I think you vaguely look familiar. And I said, I can't picture you. And then one day, you know, we were talking, we were working together, and he says, hey, you know what, I remember you. And he says, you were always come up, you had tennis shoes on, but you want me to shine your shoes. And I asked you, why you didn't put them on? I said, well, you know, I didn't know what to say. And I said, you know what? And I asked him, I said, oh, you got the Bertram Gilbert or whatever he was at. And he was like, yeah. And I said to him, I said, listen, I admire, you know, your work ethic. And I saw what you were doing. And I saw that you would never leave here until this thing ended. So I just wanted to support you. So, you know, I brought my shoes, and I knew you wasn't going to do it for nothing. I said, and I seen when I finally forgot my shoes that you was actually looking at me suspiciously, like, why are you just giving me 75 cents? I didn't shine nothing. You know, and he said, wow. He said, I didn't know that. And he says, well, you know what? I wound up, you know, finally going to, you know, a service to help me, you know, find a job. And, you know, they hooked me up with this here. And he said, next thing you know, I worked here a couple of years. And then, you know, I started moving up. And then now I'm the man in charge. And he says, you know what? He says, if this is what you want to do, he says, you know, I'm going to help you, you know, through this. And I'm going to, you know, instead of making this a revolving door job, if you really want this, you know, he said, I'll help you out. And I told him, I said, you know, I went to school for, you know, various things. And I said, I want something more. I said, but if you can concentrate your time on someone else, I appreciate that. And he was like, look, I appreciate you, brother. He said, because I didn't know what you were doing. And, you know, I didn't know that I had planted, you know, a seed in them to actually, you know that, you know, that no matter what you're doing, if you put your heart into it, people will support you. That's the seed I was planting. I didn't even know exactly what I was doing, but I actually did that, you know. And I can smile now, but, you know, there are so many things that we do just by doing that we plant the seed to make things better, you know, and we just have to continue doing that, you know. And, you know, getting back to, you know, what I was saying, you know, Jesus is our model for ministry in the way that he saw people in the, and saw their needs. You know, he was moved with compassion for them. You know, the word compassion is used in the gospel only to describe Jesus. You know, it means, you know, stirred at the deepest level. This means he didn't just see a man with leprosy, but he felt his pain and rejection. He saw his broken heart, and he even, you know, even better, you know, his heart broke right along with him. And Jesus didn't, you know, took, you know, adulterous woman, you know, in a judgment of the way that often the other people look at her. You know, he looked at her with loving passion, forgiveness, and wiping her slate clean. You know what it means to be having a clean slate? You know, one of the things that is planted in our mind is that we can't do things quickly. We can do things quickly if we put our mind to it and we put our faith behind it. You know, how about you? You know, when you see someone living in filth and sin, you know, does it disgust you or does it move you, you know, with compassion? You know, when you see someone, you know, basically in a constant state of anger, are you going to try to soothe them or are you going to incite them? You know, has your heart become, you know, stone cold where you just can't feel compassion? You know, a lot of people just don't understand, you know, how after they see things in a news feed and they see things going on, where they can have compassion. Because we can bludgeon over the head with violence. We can bludgeon over the head with things that is not positive. And let me tell you about another positive experience, and it's not about me. It's about, you know, somebody that started something great, and his name was William Booth. You know, and he started the Salvation Army. But what led him to do this? You know, here's a guy that one night he took a stroll because he couldn't sleep, and he walked through the slums of London. You know, and it was raining. You know, the rain was beating down, and right on the, you know, basically where the dialects were sleeping and where the streets and mostly the homeless gathered, you know, he just didn't look at them as drunk losers or people that, you know, had opportunity to squander it. There was somebody. Not only that, there was somebody's baby. And, you know, that used to be love. And he always thought that him and his wife, they had babies that didn't survive, that didn't get to live to be their potential. And he saw all these people and says, I want to do something for them because my babies did not have a chance. My babies didn't get a chance to live. Maybe it was meant to be or maybe it wasn't. But the one thing I'm going to do, doing something for these people. I know they don't want a handout. I know they don't want to seem like they are doing something. They're not doing anything and they're getting something. I'm going to make a positive organization around these people. whereas though we can survive, where we can heal. Nobody wants to hear a success story. Everybody wants to see a train wreck. Why? Is a train wreck fun? Really? Train wreck's fun unless you see you picture yourself inside that train. You know, it's all about compassion. You know, and you know, you reap what you sow. If you constantly reap seeing the destruction of another man, guess what? You are what you think of. Anyone can be saved. And the worst part of your life is where you find the best part of your life. The more you have the privilege of being forgiven, the more you're being brought out of turmoil, the more you bring, you know, you find out that, you know, you can be converted and you can change things around. This is where that's the best part of your life. You know, a lot of people always particularly say, they're throwing dirt on me. They're doing this and they're doing that to me. It doesn't matter what somebody's doing to you or what somebody's doing for you. The whole part about it is what you do. You know, in order for a plant to, you know, fertile, you know, become fertile and fertilize itself, dirt's got to be on. Sometimes the best dirt is manure. And the funny part about manure is, if you look at the first part, muh, and then there's newer. So, you know, the muh is the bad part, stinky part, and then at the end, don't forget it's newer. So, you know, if you look at things negatively, it will be negative. You can say, hey, listen, I'll take the bad, and then guess what? I got the bad first, and at the part, I get the newer. So, you know, that's a funny way to look at it, but, you know, I want to tell you, you know, we're always going to get, you know, but just think about it. The more dirt we get thrown on us, the more we shine as people or a person. Because it's not how you, you know, how you take it. It's how you get out of it, how you express yourself. You know, and most importantly, I'm going to tell you, you know, reaping and sowing, this is the same part about, you know, what we have to deal with. And, you know, I was going to tell you a story. You know what? It's a story. It's not true, but I'll just, it sounds good, so I'm going to say it. So, you know, it was a cannibal, and he was reading the Bible. And next thing you know, it was an anthropologist, and he saw me. He said, you know, hey, aren't you carnivorous? You know, what are you doing? What are you doing reading the Bible? And he says, what do you mean, what am I doing? He says, well, you're reading the Bible. And he says, you know, I never thought I'd seen a cannibal reading the Bible. He said, do you know that by me reading this Bible right here, that stops me from putting it in my cook pot. So I heard that from somewhere. I don't know where I heard that from. But I just thought it was funny, you know, other people. And it's like, you know, at what point, you know, should I believe what I'm seeing? And yeah, you're believing what you're seeing because, you know, if you see a cannibal reading the Bible, why would you question that? You know, and then he just said, hey, listen, the reason why I didn't put you in my cook pot is because I'm reading the Bible. So, you know, I'm just, you know, putting that out there, you know, for those people that want to question other people and their character and stuff like that. You know, and basically many of us, we, you know, we live in a cocoon, you know, in our own making. You know, we are, you know, basically forgotten, you know, what it's like to be in bondage, you know, to sin, you know, from God's word. You know, it wouldn't hurt just a little bit to take a walk, you know, in someone else's shoes, you know, for just once. You know, some of us, you know, we may walk through or maybe purposely or unpurposely, we walk through a neighborhood and we frown our face and say, you know, oh, man, I hate Kensington. You know, I'm just referring to a club in Philadelphia because I'm from Philly. So, you know, and you know, it's like, oh, man, Badlands, or this part, that part, you know. But where do we see the compassion? And where do we see that we can say, hey, you know, even though this is a dysfunctional part of this city, you know, I know parts of the city flourish greatly, but at what point do you say, hey, listen, you know, let me just take myself out of the comfort zone and see if I can help somebody, at least one person, you know? And that's what God offers us, you know. It's not like we all graduate from a Bible college, you know, and basically as we start going out, because we read one verse or one chapter or whatever, that, you know, we just, you know, graduate from, you know, just, you know, the seminary, and, you know, all of a sudden we're a scholar, you know. I'm going to tell you, you know, any of us can start a Bible study or Bible outreach or something, you know. And the whole thing where it starts at is just, you know, we all have a comfort zone. We all have our little cocoon where we say, hey, you know what, we're safe here. But sometimes you got to venture out, and you got to do, you know, what's best for a lot of people, because you never know where your outreach or come full 60 with what you sow. And the reason why I mentioned, you know, the Shushan guy is because eventually it came full circle where I was helping him and didn't know how to tell him I'm helping him, didn't know how to let him know that, look, I support your services or whatever. But at the end, he was able to help me. You know, reach one, teach one. As you teach one, reach back. You know, the conditions of sin, you know, basically of sinners, you know, the Bible compares people to sheep. And the reason why is because we're all like sheep and have gone, you know, astray. You know, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. Don't forget that. And that was in Psalm 23:1. You know, and let's take a look at ourselves for a moment. As the sheep that we are, what can we learn about ourselves from this basically situation? You know, what it is we can't basically just outright say for some reason that we're sinners. Without Jesus, you know, without Jesus, we're like sheep. You know, without a shepherd, without Jesus, we have no protection. You know, and so we're going to verse 36. Jesus had a compassion because, you know, they, you know, basically fainted. This means that they had, you know, skin and fleece and tossed aside the very religious leaders of their day that were supposed to be looking out for them. You know, and they were using them and abusing them. You know, they didn't love them. You know, what a picture of this world today, how we have, you know, a lot of these so-called superstar TV star ministers and pastors, and, you know, basically they're using their power over little people. You know, basically it's, you know, what is wrong with ministry in the first place, you know, and it always seems like, you know, money is greed, and that is an excuse for us to say, hey, listen, you know, they keep asking for money, and I don't see what they're doing with the money and all that. But my thing is, where is your faith? You know, if you had faith in the first place, you know, and then something small as that as given, how is that deterring you? If they do the wrong thing, it's fine with me, but did I get a message out of what they were saying in the first place? Double-edged sword. And we have to understand that this is a fellowship. This is not, you know, something that we're doing to just make, you know, clear that, hey, at the end, I wind up in heaven and you guys are back there and, you know, I don't care. You should care. You should care. Some of the people that we're leaving behind are some of the people that we should bring forward with us, because everybody has a good quality. Everybody was made for something. We weren't made to sin. We weren't made to be, you know, a singer or a movie star or anything other than that. We all had a talent. And we had to nurture that. And if you can't find that talent, talk to him. Make sure, you know, You know, what your talent's supposed to be. Make sure you know what you're supposed to do. You know, everybody inspires everybody in some way. You can't say for one reason that, hey, just for, even if it was for a little moment, I wanted to be like him, I wanted to be like her. You know, we just can't put ourselves, you know, in that box where we can say, hey, I'm this, I'm that. You know, my funny thing is always about, you know, stories about kings and queens and how they came about in power. But the most funny thing is how everything ends. It's either an overthrowing of their government, an overthrowing of, you know, what they believed in, or just they came to power and then all of a sudden, you know, something happened. They got poisoned or something. There's always something bad that happens with, you know, kings and queens. And it's just funny. But there's this one telling of, you know, our Savior. And what it does, what he does is he, you know, he offers us everlasting life. And, you know, if you're not certain of what's going on, I'm going to the call of salvation. And I just want to make sure that you have an opportunity to be connected to, you know, our one and only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And, you know, the only way, you know, through God is through him. And I just want to let you know that you all have an opportunity. You know, even, no matter what's going on in your life, you know, you should be able to just stop and just say, hey, listen, something's wrong. You know, I have to just, I just know it's not right. And I just know I got to get it right. And one of the ways you can do that is you just say a prayer and just let them know, like, look, Father God, I'm a sinner. I am so sorry. I just renounce the ways of my sins. I just want to be connected to you. I just want to be, you know, faithful. I just want to make sure that I spread your gospel the way you want me to and the way you know how you want me to, because you know my gifts, you know my talents. Father God, I turn myself over to you. I'm turning over new leaf. Once you do that, you know, and you say it to someone the minute of the tongue, then you're saved. We call your mom. You can call your sister, brother, father, uncle, twice removed cousin, or whoever. You just let them know, hey, I turned my life over to Christ. And from now, I'm a new person. I got a new beginning. And, you know, sometimes many of us, you know, we've always pronounced that, you know, I've turned my life over to Christ in 1985. And right now here in, you know, 2021, you know, sometimes we have to understand that we reflect, we need, you know, a rededication. So, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, even if we had to do that, even if it's like your first time turning life over to Christ, just let him know that you dedicate yourself and that you're just, you know, turning your life back over to him. Because sometimes, you know, we don't know how many chances we have, but we just know that once we ask for them, we get them. You know, make sure you ask for your chance. And, you know, with that being said, I just hope you found a Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that mentioned the word of Christ. And the reason why I say sanctuary is because, you know, the church is not open, but we've always had, you know, virtual churches. And we just want to make sure that, you know, you take each and every opportunity that you examine one, and you find one. You know, you welcome that, you know, in your heart, and make sure that you bring that also to your family. Because, you know, fellowship is important. And one of the best ways that you can, you know, fellowship and let your family know, hey, I found this church online, or I found this church, you know, physically or whatever. You know, we need fellowship, and we need the right fellowship, and that's the reason why I'm here tonight, just letting you know that, you know, we want you, and, you know, if we can, you know, we want you, you know, hey, we're here, and we're doing everything we can. That's why we broadcast almost every night. And, if you want to contact us here, I'm going to do announcements here for Purpose Kingdom Network. If you're doing announcements, and you know, hey, everybody on Facebook Live, you know, thanks for joining in. And, hey, you know, as always, you know, it's fun. We're doing different things. And, you know, but, you know, thanks once again, you know, Facebook Live. So, you know, just getting back to our announcements, you know, if you want to contact us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can contact us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can send comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We'd be gladly honored that. And also, we're Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We invite you to like us on our Facebook page, which is Purpose Kingdom. And you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. You know, we got, Pastor Toy is great at doing the advertisements. Each and every show that comes on, you know, she advertises the shows, and, you know, it's great. So we just thank you so much. Anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you go to www.blogtalkradio.com/PurposeKingdom. You can just simply type in the host name and the show name, and you can hear each and every show in its entirety, and that's your convenience. So we just thank you so much for just sharing with your friends and family members, you know, and just letting us know that, you know, you're there for us. And we just thank you no matter where in the world you're at, that, you know, you're supporting us, and we just thank you so much. And we just can't wait to, you know, just open up more avenues of just sharing, you know, our show all across the world and, you know, wherever we can broadcast. I mean, thank you so much. And, you know, one more thing. If you have an iPhone, there's a purple microphone icon. And just type in Purpose Kingdom and hit follow. And you won't miss the episode of Purpose Kingdom. And we thank you so much. We have so many different ministries, and one is just right for you. If this one's not right for you, I understand. But guess what? Continue to listen to Purpose Kingdom Network, and I'm quite sure that you will have a favorite. And I just thank you so much. Thank you, Facebook Live audience, for always just being there and showing up. And as always, I said I'm going to, you know, try to dress up a little bit for you. So I got this nice little pea coat on. And I was looking for a dress shirt, but I got tied up. And so this T-shirt, I thought it was straight black. Whatever. It's just a Baby Yoda T-shirt, you know. You want to just see what that was, because I know you probably see like a little bit of the color, you know, coming through, you know, this pea coat or whatever. But regardless, you know, I did dress up for you like I promised. I didn't, you know, show up last time. You know, last time I had my Spider-Man jacket, so I stepped it up a little bit. So maybe I'll step it up again next time I broadcast. You know, I really love doing this. And sometimes I just really, you know, miss doing this. You know, I hate missing the show. And, you know, kind of like, I can't believe I, you know, can't do the show. But, you know, it's truly something important. I'm glad, you know, everybody, you know, had a chance to, you know, comment and, you know, say little things. So let me just wrap things up here. And it's basically, you know, how we deal with things, knowing that, you know, that we're basically sheep. And when I say that we're sheep, I'm not saying this, you know, in a good way. You know, basically, being sheep, you know, we're looking for, you know, we can't look for guidance from each other. And that's what I want to make sure I express. You know, being sheep means that you're looking for a shepherd to guide you. You know, as long as you're a sheep and you're turning around talking to other sheep, that sheep could lead you off the cliff. That sheep could lead you anywhere but where you need to be. We have to understand, once, you know, as being, you know, sheep, we have to make sure we find our shepherd. You know, because otherwise we'll blindly follow each other. And in doing that, you know, we're all going to be hurrying around, really not knowing what we're supposed to be or what we're supposed to do. You know, somebody basically, you know, when we look at each other, and like I said, that's why I say we don't look at each other the way we should. Because when we look at somebody and you see somebody walking around with a gold chain or a fresh pair of sneakers, no matter where they came from, and they say, hey, I got this or I got that, and then next thing you know, you're going to go ahead and follow behind that person. You know, that's where we become sheep. You know, stop being sheep. And we necessarily can't stop being sheep, but we make sure we find a shepherd. Because, you know, the way sheep are is until they find a shepherd, they'll go in all kinds of directions. They can go anywhere. And if you're a sheep following the sheep, there's no direction. You know, there's no true following. You're following anything. And we have to get out of that the mentality that we're going to be sheep. And if we are going to be sheep, make sure we can find our shepherd. Because if we can't find our shepherd, we're not going in the right direction. We're not going any direction God wants to be. Because we're following. It's the blind leading the blind. You know, it's we're setting up our next generation to continue to be sheep. We're not teaching them how to find a shepherd or, on top of that, their own path. We need to make our own path. And, you know, before I leave, you know, tonight, I just want to make sure I reiterate that we're not married to Democrats as far as being black people. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, by far, is not the solution, but maybe they can get us close to that. You know, we're not married to them. Just the way we voted them in, we can vote them out. And, you know, 45 is a good, you know, indication of how quickly, you know, we can come together and get things done. And I hope we continue to do that. You know, I love doing this. And, you know, I just want to let everybody know that, you know, broadcasting here at Perfect Skin Network, man, it just, you know, it makes me happy. And also, you know, makes me really joyous that, you know, we're continuing to, you know, bring one soul at a time. If we're doing that, we're bringing multiple souls, and I'm just happy to be part of this Purpose Kingdom Network, just being one of the many that are just constantly bringing forth, you know, souls, bringing them closer to God. And I hope, you know, I found at least one soul, or one soul just is willing to try, you know, just, you know, find God out, because you know, if you tried everything, and you've done everything, and nothing's working, you know, you need to do something different. And you know, just listen. You know, it'll become, you know, part of, you know, what you are. You know, this is about reaping and sowing. You constantly listen to stuff that is not that benefits you, then, you know, at the end result, you're going to get nothing. If you reap nothing, you sow nothing. If you reap many, it'll come back to you abundantly. And, you know, don't forget to tell friends and family members the same thing, that no action is a wrong action. Do something. With that being said, hey, I'm just loving, you know, what I'm doing here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and I just thank you so much. So with that being said, we're going to end our broadcast on Dog Jesus Talk Radio.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose.
You ever want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me, I will not lose.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta admit it, I'm so committed to winning.
Yeah.
I will never see defeat another day that I